Today we're taking a look at a section in James that talks about people like that, butterface people. Are you a butterface person? Maybe you prefer my kids. Let's put the next picture up there. Cupcake face people or ice cream face people. These are my kids. I was trying to find a picture of one of them with stuff on their face, and I realized I have way too many pictures of my kids and stuff all over their face. So, now today we're talking about a section in James that teaches us to take a good look at ourselves. To take a look at ourselves. And ultimately, this topic is, in a sense, as we've been going through this book of James, this is what has had me, I've been chewing on these thoughts and trying to figure this out for months. You know, as a preacher, I can tell you all about how Jesus works, the gospel works, how we need to obey Christ. But for some reason, in my heart, the idea of being free in Christ and then doing what God says just didn't line up very well. In my heart, it was either I'm serving Christ and doing what he wants, or I'm spending time with Jesus and enjoying him. And there was no in-between. And this whole series, if you remember, we've been reading through James, and it starts off with God gives you suffering so that you can become like him, that you will spend time with him and become like him, that God wants you to have wisdom. He wants you to know how to do that. He wants you to be with him. He wants you to recognize there's a reward for following him, that there's temptations along the way, but you need to cling to Jesus. Last week we looked at God wants you to cast off all the old ways of the world. Now that you know Christ and are made new, cast off all the old ways and let the gospel change you. And that's all some really good stuff. To receive Christ's love and be changed. But then the next part I thought about is like, but then the rest of the book of the James seems to be all about doing. Do, 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 do. And how do those line up? I know for many of us who grew up in America or the church, doing is our life. Everything we do is about what we do. It's about our performance, about our external actions. In Jesus' day, the Jewish leaders, the religious people, were all about doing, and they did not know God. And that was the problem. And so today we're going to take a look at how does knowing Jesus as the Savior who sets you free relate to our doing as Christians. So here's our thought for the day, that God desires action fueled by the gospel. God desires our actions. He desires us to do things, but he desires us to be fueled by his good news. Ultimately, this is, I think, the core of living a life as a Christian. Right here. For the last 2 months, I have been preaching to myself because I need to hear this. My soul has needed this probably as much or more than you guys do. I don't know if you guys realize that. Every time I preach, it's basically, I'm like, ooh, this is stuff I need to know. And I hope at least somebody else needs to hear this too. But if nobody else hears it, I'm really encouraged. So be blessed that I'm blessed. So we're going to take a look at some verses here. Where do abiding and remaining in relationship with God and doing for God intersect? Why don't we pray, ask God for wisdom here, and we're going to read some verses. Many of you it might be familiar to you, but I hope that as we study them, it'll really open our eyes to what God's real intention is in the Scripture. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are the God who came, who saw us in our sin and our trouble, where many of us were stuck in our sin and far from you, and we knew it. God, you sent Christ to seek and to save what was lost, to bring us back to you, to give us a hope and a future, God, and give us grace. Lord, that's so good. God, I know a lot of the rest of us, we thought we were pretty good. We thought we had it together. We didn't think we needed a Savior. And yet you sent your Son to die for those as well, to help us recognize how far we fall short of them. God, I'm like that today. I just realize how far I fall short. I'm so thankful for your gospel. I'm thankful for your son that he has made me new and washed me clean. God, I pray today, though, as we dig into your word, you'd help us to understand this salvation a little more. You would help us to understand this life you have given us a little more and how we can follow you in what you call us to. I pray this in Jesus' name. Someone's cell phone went off in the middle of my prayer. It just happened to be mine. But if you guys would, mute your cell phones, that wouldn't be a bad thing either. Let's read our section today, James chapter 1. James 1, 22 and 24. Before I read this, just a quick recap. Last week, our section said, therefore, remember, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Because the anger of man, our own efforts, does not produce the righteousness of God. Doing it on our own and trying to make things happen doesn't give us the righteousness God desires in us or other people. And so he gave us the recipe of what to do. Therefore, set aside and cast off all your filthiness and all your rampant wickedness, or the superfluity of naughtiness, if you guys remember that, and receive with meekness the implanted word. And he was saying, hey, all your old stuff in life, put it off. Don't do that anymore. And let receive the gospel in your heart. That leads to righteousness. That's what changes us. This is the next section we're looking at today. James 1, 22 through 24, 25 is really what we're going to get to. It says, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. I think this is a really interesting section. These verses were pretty foundational for me as a young believer of choosing. When I am going to follow Jesus, I'm going to do what he says. It says, don't just be a hearer, be a doer. Be a doer of what God wants you to do. This is important. Most of Christianity in America, a lot of Christians don't look different than the culture around them. That's just a fact. If you look at the surveys and the studies, marriage within your normal Christian church and the non-Christian world, well, it's about the same. Divorce rates are high. Troubles are high. Most Christians, people know, aren't really that loving. It seems like there's a disconnect in what people claim to believe and the way they live. I know there's a disconnect in the way I claim to believe and the way I live too. And I admit it. This verse tells us, don't just be ones who go to church on Sunday morning and listen and then go home and are unchanged. Be doers of what you hear. So here's our first point. I only have 2 points today. That probably means I'm going to go long. First point, your doing is important to God. God cares about what you do. This shouldn't be rocket science, people. I guess you're a turbine scientist or something, but close enough. Aerospace engineer. Your doing is important to God. God cares about your external efforts. He cares about what you spend your time on. He doesn't want you to be one who just sits around and does nothing. That's just pretty straightforward. God cares about what you do. He wants us to listen and obey. That when we hear something, that we're going to go do it. With Jenny and I and the kids, that's our desire. If they hear our voice, We tell them to do something that they will obey us.
We're working on that. They're not real good at it. And that's okay. We're working on it.
We want them to listen and obey. If this is the only point for our morning, I think this sermon would be very lacking. Your doing is important to God. But this is an important part of the Christian life. Myself, growing up in the Christian church, I camped on this, that doing is important, I just need to do. And what that meant was, what's going on inside of me doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how I feel about following God. It doesn't matter if I have objections or concerns about what God says. I just need to do it. And what we end up doing is, we fall into a heresy called legalism. Probably most of us have heard that term before. It means, if I obey the rules, God is happy with me. Legalism. I need to do things to make God happy. There's also another side to this. Have you guys ever heard of a heresy called antinomianism? Maybe Fred has. Maybe some of you guys have. Austin kind of has. This is where you believe Christ died for my sins, so I don't have to do anything ever. I'm forgiven. I can live how I want. It's wonderful. No rules, just right. Isn't that out bad? No rules, just right. I can do whatever I want. James is writing to a Jewish audience that had a lot of rules. A lot of rules. Most Jews fell into legalism that they had to follow the rules to make God happy. Jesus came and said, that's not how you come to God. You come to God through me. And so, the other side started happening. Well, if Jesus forgives me of all my sins, then I can sin as much as I want, and it's okay. I don't have to do anything. I just live the way I want. And that's not good either. Let's reread these verses here with that in mind. Those two sides. Following the rules or being totally free of the rules. James 1:22. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was really like. A butter face. God's not so concerned with our external actions. What God wants is for us to see what's really going on in our lives and then to do something about it. It's not just to recognize, oh, I've got issues, and then ignore them and live life like we've always lived our life. He says, don't just be a hearer, be a doer. It's really interesting about this. Let's go to the next slide here. I think what James is trying to help us see is the word. When we talk about the word, we're talking about God's word to people. We understand that as the scripture, the Holy Bible. He says, don't just be hearers of what the Bible says, be doers. One who only hears deceives himself. I think the word is our mirror in our life. The word of God helps us see what we are really like. It helps us understand what's really true. James is saying, you can go to the Word and catch a glimpse from God of what's really true about yourself, and then walk away and forget. Not remember that that's what's going on inside of you. Walk away with a cupcake all over your face the rest of the day. Saw it in the mirror, you say, oh, that's interesting, and then you forget. And everybody else is like, can I just lick that frosting off of you or something? Like, if you do it right, it makes it look like you have a goatee. For those of you who have trouble with facial hair, you know, a little chocolate frosting around the edges is really helpful. God's word is a mirror to our soul.
Last week we talked about you still have sin. If you've accepted Christ, you're forgiven. But there's still the old self. The Word exposes the old self. The Word is like in an MRI, you drink that nasty juice. Has anyone ever had an MRI? I'm curious. A few of you. I saw Nikira make a face like she was going to throw up. You drink that stuff, it's contrast. You go into the machine and it helps show everything that's going on the inside. The Word of God is the contrast for our hearts and our lives. If we read it and we're really paying attention, we will recognize ourselves in the words. Or we're going to recognize how we don't line up with what's in those words. Ultimately, what God wants us to do is come to His Word with an open and humble heart and let Him show us our natural things. Our sin, it's there. Many of us, we live our life as if we're totally perfect already, and we hide everything that's a flaw or a fault. What God wants is to bring to light what's not right in us. But not just that. He also wants to show us what to do with it. He wants to show us what to do. So the Word reveals, and the doing is what washes our face. And the doing isn't necessarily what you think. It's not just external religious action. I don't think that's what he's talking about here. It's not a check-the-box list of rules. It's a obeying the voice of your Father. It's a big difference. With our kids, that's been one of the things we've been trying to institute with them, is obey your parents' voice. It's not about following rules. It's about hearing what I'm telling you and doing it because you trust that I love you. And ultimately, what God wants from us is obedience from the heart. Ultimately, God doesn't want us just to know things are wrong. He wants us to take action on some of those things. God doesn't want to just show us the right path. He wants us to walk on the right path. And it's not a list of rules and a legalism, per se. What it is it's the path of life. God wants us to know how to be more like Him. He uses His Word to show us. Some of you spend a lot of time in the morning getting ready. Let's put up the next slide here. I was on Facebook the other day and this quiz came up. How high maintenance are you? Are you way too extra? And some of you might be, this isn't supposed to be a stab at any particular gender in this room or anything like that. How much time do you spend in the morning to get ready? To make sure you're looking good, you're smelling good, you're feeling good. I took this quiz, and out of 20, I scored a 3. Not very high maintenance, just for the record. But I was thinking about this in light of this verse. Some of us, it's a good thing to look good in the morning, right? That's fine. It's a good thing to smell good, to be clean, to make sure you're not some offensive slob, you know? That's why I dress up in the morning. What God is more concerned about than how high maintenance you are on the outside is how high maintenance you are on the inside. God wants you to spend as much time in front of the mirror of His Word as the mirror in the bathroom. And to be addressing the issues in your heart as much as the blemishes on the outside. 1 Peter, talking to women in particular, but I think this applies to all of us in some ways. Peter tells them, don't let your adorning be external. The braiding of hair and putting on gold jewelry or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. Peter's saying, I don't think he's saying, don't look good on the outside, but he's telling you, pay attention to what's going on your inside. Take the time to develop your heart with God. And when God shows you something, do it. Ultimately, God's desire for our doing is for us to be transformed and be more like Him and to help other people know Him. That's what God's heart is. It's all about the relationship. It's not about the rules. This morning, just as an example here, God's word can convict us either as we're reading it or as we're thinking about it. This morning I had a conversation with someone that I'm like, wow, that wasn't a very good feeling conversation. I walked away and God's like, Tom, you were in the wrong. You responded poorly. You should apologize. You know what my initial reaction was? Nah, I don't want to do that. That's hard and scary. And I realized, yeah, usually the doing God wants is hard and scary, but it's the right thing to do. So I apologize. It wasn't so bad. If you notice, I'm not dead. That's our first point. That's a good bar. Well, I didn't die. That was pretty good. That's our first point. It's not complicated. Your doing is important to God. Your external actions are important. What you spend your time on is important. But why is important too? And how? I want to ask you a question here as we close this point. What's your attitude toward God's word? What's your attitude toward the Bible? A lot of the world judges the Bible. But what we really need to do is let the Bible judge us. The Bible to point out how we should walk. That's what the doing is all about. But ultimately, here's our second point. This is the end, the last verse of our section. Dwelling on Jesus empowers our doing. Just doing really is never going to change you. God cares about your doing, but how you do it is essential. Dwelling on Jesus, my wife said I should change it to dwelling with Jesus, but I'll get to why I have it here in just a moment. Dwelling on Jesus empowers our doing. For most of my life, I was a doer of the word. Do, 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 memorize scripture, read the Bible every day, serve at church, be at every meeting, share the gospel, check all the boxes of what I was supposed to do. It was good. None of that was wrong. But you know what I ended up doing? Burning out. I got discouraged, tired, ran out of energy, and hit the wall, and I want to quit. Actually, it's happened a lot over my life. I'm just like, I am done with this, God. This isn't working. I'm doing, 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 and I feel like death. There is no joy in this. There's no life in this. Maybe you felt that way following Jesus sometimes. This is death. Ultimately, I think if our doing for God feels dead, then we're doing it with the wrong power. For our doing for Jesus, or even our doing in life, isn't filled with life and joy. Somehow we're missing God's plan for us. We're not experiencing God's gifts in our life. We're missing something. Now again, there's times and seasons where life is hard, where it feels like God is far away. And I get that. But if as a regular thing your doing feels bad, there's probably something wrong under the surface.
Let's read this verse. James 1:25, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Well, jolly G. Willigers, I want to be blessed in my doing. I want to be blessed. Blessed means happy. Blessed means full of joy and life. I want to be blessed. That sounds nice. Bless me, Lord, in everything I do. But in this section, it gives us a little bit of an equation of how to be blessed in our doing. Just doing might end up leading you to a burned-out, dead life. But the doing James talks about here is the powerful, victorious Christian life. One who looks in the perfect law and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. I want to put something out here. So, it says perfect law. Usually we think about law as a list of rules to obey. If I do these, I won't get in trouble. The New Testament talks about two different types of law. There's the old law, the law Moses received, that was all the do's and don'ts. You need to do this, not do that. Sacrifice this animal. Don't sleep with this kind of person. Blah, 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 blah. Now, all those things are good and right. But as people tried to do them, it started leading to death. They couldn't do it. It was God's royal law. It was his standard, and no one could live up to it. But James is talking about something different here. I believe. The perfect law, the law of liberty, the law that sets us free. He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about Jesus Christ, the man who came and died for our sins and rose again to set us free. Paul talks about this law in Romans. He says, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free, same word, from the law of sin and death. We're set free from the old ways that bring death. He's brought us into a new way of life, the law of liberty, the law that Christ bought for us to follow, forgiveness of sins, and the grace to do what God tells us to do. Ultimately, the gospel, the good news that Christ died and rose again to redeem us from the sin, is the power of God for salvation. It's also the power of God for every obedience. God never tells us to obey something he hasn't already provided the means for us to move forward. And so what's the equation here? How does this work? I think this is really interesting. It says, look into the perfect law and persevere. Let's go to this next slide. Look into the perfect law. Here's what that word really means. It means to stoop down and gaze into. Okay? Stoop down. Most of us don't stoop down and gaze into much of anything. In fact, neither did people in the New Testament. This phrase only shows up in three different contexts. In the New Testament. One of that context, it shows up three different times. And that context is here in Luke. Luke 24 says, this is when Jesus had died. He'd been buried in the tomb. All the hopes of his followers had been dashed and destroyed. And then on Sunday morning, the women came running back and said, guys, Jesus is gone. He's gone. He's not in the tomb. I don't know what happened. And then here in Luke 24, it says Peter and John ran to the tomb. Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stopping and looking inside, or stooping down and gazing in. He saw the linen cloths, and then he went home marveling at what had happened. look into the perfect law. Peter looked into the empty tomb and walked away amazed. That's what God tells us to do here. Spend time thinking about what that meant, that Christ died and rose again. Look into it. Think about it. Let that be where you dwell. That word persevere, in the verse before, it literally means to remain at or abide beside. You know, we talk about that word abide a lot. It means to remain near. It means remain connected to. It says, show up at the gospel and remain there. Stay there. Hold on to it. Think about it. Let it be a constant part of your life. Actually, that story, after Peter shows up at the tomb, you know who comes next is Mary Magdalene. She was a pretty low class woman. Not she was a classy, but she was a prostitute who had 7 demons cast out of her. She was not high on the social strata. What does she do? She goes to that tomb where the Messiah is gone, and she weeps. She weeps. And then someone approaches her. It's Christ. Jesus met her there at the tomb. And it changed her life. So here's my question for you guys here with this part. Have you guys ever met Jesus at the gospel? Have you ever met him in a personal, real way? Where him dying and rising again, it shakes you. It shakes you to your core. Where you're amazed, where you marvel at what he's done. That's the type of gazing James is telling us to do. When Mary was at that tomb, she was filled with sorrow. She didn't hide it. Jesus showed up, and it transformed her. She ran back and said with great amazement, told everyone what she saw. From a woman filled with sorrow, meeting Jesus changed her. She was filled with life and joy and excitement. Jesus told her, go tell everyone. And you know what she did? She didn't even think about it. She ran and obeyed. She ran and obeyed. It wasn't a duty. It was a joy for her because she had seen the risen Lord. Let's go back to our section here. It says, but the one who looks in the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres there, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Pretty simple. Spend time with Jesus and then do what you hear he tells you to do. Get close to the gospel. Understand your need for a Savior never ends. And let Jesus' grace wash over you. That's what changes us. So you might ask, so what does this kind of doing look like, Tom? That kind of doing. It's not just going to church, doing the religious rituals, trying to be nice to people, and having an external effort. It's a doing that flows out of a changed life. I'll tell you what, that kind of doing is almost always countercultural. It's almost always against what the world thinks you ought to be doing, even what your comfortable self thinks you ought to be doing. It's usually taking a step into something a little scary and a little unknown. Like asking for forgiveness. Remember, I didn't die. It might be realizing you need to say no to some things and yes to some other things. Maybe it means praying more. Maybe it means choosing to love people that are hard to love. Maybe it means, this is one that got me. When I was about 23 or 24, I used to go on prayer walks
you know, super spiritual. And I remember thinking, I used to go and live at the church that summer, walk around the school, the high school there, and then come home. And I remember God putting it on my heart, you ought to kneel and humble yourself before me. And I'm thinking, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Kneel? What if somebody finds me out in the public kneeling down? But after about the third day, I gave in. I'm like, okay, God. I knelt. For whatever reason, that choice to do what I thought God was telling me to do, it broke me. It changed me. I remember just weeping under a tree. Someone was walking with their dogs. You okay, bro? Yeah, I'm okay. The doing God wants us to do oftentimes makes us look really weird or really dumb. That's where life is. That's the life God calls us to. That's the transformation he wants. Let's look at a flow chart here for you engineers. It's pretty simple. Gospel gazing / tomb lingering. Looking into the law of liberty and persevering there, holding on to it. Leads to transformation. Transformation followed by obedience equals blessing. You want a blessed life? Spend time with God, understanding how the gospel applies to you, to this world. Let that change who you are. Let the new person that Christ made you grow and put off the old parts. That's the doing. You'll be blessed in your being. Really, it's doing that flows out of Jesus as he leads our life. Really, what we're saying here is, if you're a butterface, let Jesus and the gospel wipe you clean. So, second point, dwelling on Jesus empowers our doing. Don't stop doing if you're not close to Jesus. But maybe your doing ought to look a little different. Maybe your doing might be a little less external to people and a little more internal. Spending time with God, letting that gospel touch your heart. So for those of you who are up for challenges, some of you hate challenges, I want to challenge you guys in something. It's a 40-day challenge. I just picked an arbitrary number. 40 seems like a good number if you're doing some sort of challenge. I want to challenge you guys to think about the gospel. I want to challenge you guys every day for the next 40 days, or you can make it until Easter, that's like about 48 or so, 50 days away. Think about the gospel every day and dwell there. Some of you are like, I don't understand this gospel concept. What is the gospel? My wife grew up in a different kind of church, and for her, the gospel meant those four first books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And somebody told her, let's go share the gospel. She's like, what do you mean? What's the gospel? Well, the gospel really is the good news. It includes the bad news. Knowing the gospel helps us understand how great God is. The gospel is also how awful we are. The gospel is that Jesus Christ bridged the gap by coming and dying. And that if we believe in him, his grace is sufficient for our whole life. That is the gospel. So here's the four things I would encourage you guys to think about doing. Consider doing. You don't have to do this. I'm going to do this. This is good for me. Read the Bible every day. Can be a lot, can be a little, doesn't matter. I'm doing about 3 verses a day and really digging in, and it is amazing. Read the Bible every day. And then seek to find the gospel in your passage. Seek to understand, how does this apply to the gospel? Finding Jesus in his work in the pages. Third thing is, figure out how it applies to your life. How does this part of the gospel I'm reading in the scripture today apply to me today? And fourthly, I want to encourage you to share that thought with at least one other person. Share that with someone in your life transformation group, in your house church, maybe your roommate. If you have no one else, share it with me. I'd love to hear what God is doing through his house. John 5:39, Jesus tells the Pharisees, these were the religious leaders of the day, "You search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me." The scriptures point to Jesus. Even the Old Testament and all those rules point to Jesus. The New Testament, it points to Jesus. The whole thing works together to point to Jesus. So I'm encouraging you guys, find Jesus in your Bible. It's not hard if you start in Matthew, Mark, Hebrew, John. My wife, some of you in our house church, she's doing something similar to this. She thought, wow, the Gospel of Matthew really means this is the Gospel from Matthew's perspective. It's the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew is telling us what the Gospel is. So she's reading it every day going, what does this tell me about the Gospel? That's been really cool. She's been able to fit it all together and understand how Christ's love changes the world, changes her. I'm not going to make you guys sign up, but if you want to do this with me, let me know. I'd love to. But I just want to close off here with our last thought. That ultimately what God wants from us, he desires action from us. Action fueled by the gospel. He wants us to understand it and let that understanding move from us. So I want to challenge you guys not to be a listener who forgets. I want to challenge you to be a doer who acts on what you hear. So here's my final question for you today. What do you feel like God is asking you to do with what you heard today? What does God want you to do with what you heard here? Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we humble ourselves before you, Lord. You are God, you're King, you're our Savior, you're the one who has made everything right. God, sometimes we can be proud, think much too highly of ourselves. Sometimes we can be really down and think very lowly of ourselves, Lord. But ultimately, we ought to think on you. God, be changing us. Help us take the time to be in your view, to understand your gospel. Open our eyes. Help us to know you. Just pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.